Before philosophy divided itself from ritual, before religion separated belief from experience, and before language was treated as mere description, there was an understanding shared across ancient cultures. The world responds to sound. Imagine an initiate entering a sanctuary at the crossroads of Egypt and Greece, not a place of pews or sermons, but potentially a threshold. The teacher doesn't ask what the initiate believes. He asks whether they're prepared to listen, because in this tradition, listening is already an act of creation. Only after silence does speech begin. This is where Hermeticism begins, not with doctrine, but with orientation. Hermeticism is an ancient wisdom tradition that arose in Hellenistic Egypt, where Greek philosophy met Egyptian priestly cosmology. It's neither a religion nor a speculative philosophy. It's a path of awakening concerned with the nature of reality, the nature of the divine, and the human capacity to participate consciously in both. Hermetic teachings were never meant to be agreed with. They were meant to change the way the world appears. At the heart of this tradition stands Hermes Trismegistus, or Hermes the Thrice Great, a figure who is less a historical person than a living voice. He is the fusion of Hermes, the Greek messenger between the worlds, and Thoth, the Egyptian god of sacred speech, writing, and cosmic order. Together, they form a teacher who speaks from the threshold between the human and the divine. Ancient writers treated Hermes as primordial, a bearer of wisdom that's older than Plato, older than even Moses. Whether this is literally true matters less than what it signals. Hermetic teachings, they don't belong to just one era. They arise whenever human consciousness becomes capable of receiving them. The surviving Hermetic texts, being the Corpus Hermeticum and the Asclepius, they preserve this particular voice. Written as dialogues between Hermes and his students, these works, they're not instructional manuals. They're initiatory encounters. They're meant to awaken the nous, or the divine intellect, within the listener. In these texts, Hermes makes a claim that is both simple and destabilizing. He says that speech is creative, not psychologically, but ontologically. Ontology is the branch of philosophy that's concerned with being itself. It's concerned with what exists, how it exists, and what structures reality. When Hermeticism speaks of speech creating reality, it's making an ontological statement. It's saying that words don't merely describe the world, they participate in its formation. This idea wouldn't have sounded strange in the ancient world. In Egyptian cosmology, the god Ptah creates through heart and through tongue, other words, through thought and through speech. In Greek philosophy, logos is the principle through which chaos becomes cosmos. In the Gospel of John, written in the same cultural atmosphere, creation begins with the word. Hermeticism gathers all of this, but it goes further. In the Corpus Hermeticum, Hermes declares the following: the word of God is the creator of all things. This isn't supposed to be metaphor, it's actually supposed to be instruction. Logos in Hermetic understanding, it's not casual speech. It's ordered utterance, or sound aligned with intelligence. And because human beings are microcosms of the divine, they too participate in logos. When they speak unconsciously, they echo disorder. When they speak with awareness, they echo creation. This is why the Hermetic cosmos is not inert. It's alive, it's ensouled, it's intelligent. The Asclepius describes the universe as a great god, a living being endowed with soul and intelligence. Stars are not dead matter. Planets are not objects. Earth itself is a responsive presence. Speech moves through this living field like vibration through water, and this is where responsibility is supposed to enter. Hermetic texts repeatedly warn against careless speech, not because of moral anxiety, but because speech shapes the soul. Excessive or impulsive or even unconscious words, they scatter inner coherence. They bind the speaker more tightly to fate, or what's called hymarmony, the chain of cause and effect that governs those who live reactively. Hermes states plainly that ignorance is the greatest evil, not ignorance of facts, but ignorance of one's own nature. To forget that your voice participates in creation is to live beneath your capacity. This is why Hermetic initiation is inseparable from silence. Silence is not the absence of speech. It's supposed to be the womb of right speech. It allows nous to rise above the impulse, above the inherited language, above the stories that we repeat without realizing that they're constantly shaping us. And so the initiate is supposed to learn to speak less, not to become mute, but to become quite precise. Ancient cultures, they understood naming as an act of power. To name something truthfully was to bring it into right relationship. To name something falsely was to distort reality itself. Plato himself wrestles with this in the Cratylus, asking whether names reveal the essence of things or if they conceal them. Hermeticism answers without any form of ambiguity. Words either align with reality or they obscure it. Consider how this lives in the modern world today. How often do we name exhaustion normal? How often do we name fear intuition? How often do we name endurance strength when it's actually erasure? Hermeticism doesn't ask us to speak positively. It asks us to speak truthfully with the awareness of consequence. This is where the teaching becomes deeply practical. Every phrase that's repeated becomes a groove in your perception. Every story that's told about the self becomes a structure that one must then inhabit. And this is not what some people might call magical thinking. It's more, we could call it attentional reality. Hermetic rebirth was also known as palingenesia. It doesn't occur after death. It occurs when consciousness awakens to its participatory role. When speech changes, perception changes. When perception changes, choices become possible. And where choices exist, your fate begins to loosen. This is why prayer, hymn, and even invocation were never considered symbolic. They were supposed to be technologies of alignment. Not appeals to an external god, but acts of retuning the soul to the order of the cosmos. And yet Hermes always returns to silence, because speech that is forced, speech that's anxious, speech that is compulsive, it fractures what silence has made coherent. Silence restores proportion. It allows the initiate to hear what must be said and what must not be said. The divine, in its creation, it doesn't shout. It speaks quietly, and only those who have cultivated stillness can hear it. To accept the Hermetic teaching that speech creates reality is to accept responsibility without having the fear. It's not blame, there's no perfection, it's just responsibility. It's to recognize that your voice is not nothing. That your words shape not only relationships, but inner worlds, and that the cosmos is not indifferent to sound. Hermes doesn't ask us to become flawless speakers. He asks us to become awakened ones, to speak as though the world is listening, because it is. Everyone, I hope this was helpful for you today. And as always, please take care of yourselves. And I will connect with you again for another episode next week.